Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
Soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, Senate Avenue Brewing, 16,000 Dillard. If you're out and about, pop in. We just had an incredible first hour. Great interview with Houston Dash goalkeeper Jane Campbell. We're keeping the theme of women's soccer going. Just an update here. The United States, I think it's about, 24 minutes in. It is 0-0 with Japan. A very interesting lineup. We'll talk about this a little bit later. But right now, we switch gears to the University of Houston women's soccer team. Turned a lot of heads with a big 4-1 victory over Texas. First-year head coach Ben Williams is joining me, and Kirsten Kaiser, who is a junior from Frisco, Texas. Ben, Kirsten, welcome into the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here. So, Ben, let's just talk about it. First year with the program, you get in here, you've been on the show before, but now it's nicer to do this interview
Absolutely.
With you face-to-face, so thanks for coming out, both of you. First thing I would just say is you get the job. What's the first thing you're doing? How do you put the vision together and the plan and,
Yeah.
The whole thing once you get this appointment to be the head coach of the Cougars.
Yeah, knowing obviously been in Texas for a while in the club scene and know a lot of our students and a lot of our players already coming in, looking through the roster, and KK's one that we played against in club and at a rival club for FC Dallas, and so we kind of knew about what we had, but really it was just coming in and assessing the players that we had, but only that, the culture that we wanted to set, it was never me coming in and saying, this is going to be my way, this is the way I'm going to do it. We had to create something that was our way, myself and the players, about the culture that they wanted and what we wanted. And it was never going to be my Houston or their Houston. It had to be our Houston in the way that we want to be. So that was something that was important to us, about creating that kind of culture and foundation about what we wanted to build in the University of Houston.
So when you get into this program, I mean, how many of these players do you know? How many of them do you have to sort of work on gaining their confidence, right?
Yeah, I think it's trust takes a while. It does. It doesn't just happen because I stand in the front and be a head coach, and we knew that. It's relationships take a long time to build as well. We don't force relationships on anybody. They kind of happen over time. I would probably say we have a 27-person roster right now, and right now we're probably either new or coached a lot of them before, probably about 17 of them. Wow. So there's a large part of what we kind of knew, and a lot of Texas-based. And so it's something that over time, we don't want to force anything or fabricate anything or not make it organic or authentic. It's something that kind of happens over time, and making like real connections and real relationships is something that was important.
Yeah, and the roster, as you mentioned, a lot of Texas players, yeah. Just like Kirsten, who's from Frisco, Texas. Kirsten, could you feel the change when Coach came in? So back to you, Ben, and we appreciate Kirsten Kaiser being here as well. Again, she's a junior from Frisco, a goal and an assist. Tell us a little bit about Kirsten as a player, since nobody probably knows her better than you.
Yeah, I think KK is someone who's someone that is undeniable with a work rate. It's something that has gained the respect not only from me with the teammates, and she's someone that got voted captain this year with something that the leadership role that she didn't have before. She's something with a range of passes, very technically gifted in what she does. Someone who's a phenomenal leader, not only obviously on the field but off the field as well. Someone that is a fantastic person. So she is definitely someone that is looked upon and someone that is is very held in high regard within the program, not only with the coaching staff, but with the players as well.
Describe your so-called game model. I call it playing style, but I guess the nowadays I better be hip here and go with game model. All right. Just describe a little bit your playing style and how you're trying to implement it. If we're going to come down to U of H this weekend to catch your game, what are we going to see?
Yeah, I know KK will probably tell you there's a packet that's about 40 pages long. So it's with each individual position and what we want to do. And so I think for us, we're always going to be on the front foot in what we do. For me, in the terms of, I know it's not very popular in the modern day, is I think completing 1,000 passes in the defensive third is horrendously boring.
And me will get along. Ben, you and me will get along well. I am so tired of watching center backs pass the ball back and forth while another team sits off them with a number six come in once in a while.
I don't understand that.
It is boredom at its best. Okay,
yes. We're never going to be a team that slams a 70-yard forward. It's for us, is the best pass is always the one that takes the many people out of the game as fast as possible. And once we can take them out of the game, we want to keep them out of the game. So can we play in the front foot and go forward? And so what we try and recruit players with like KK, who's got a phenomenal range of pass, she is going to be played differently to somebody else, and it's about allowing freedom within a structure. So with each individual player and knowing their skill sets and knowing their strengths and playing to their strengths individual and not kind of catering it to the whole. So we are very on the front foot, want to go forward, very open-minded, but defensively we are... With how much creativity and freedom we allow our players on the ball, it is zero freedom off it. It is very, very black and white the way we defend. So very hard-working, on the front foot, very attack-minded. And then when we get the ball, we're very, very hard to break down.
Kirsten, when you're a player, you want to play a fun style. It sounds like it's a fun style to me. Take me into how you see the playing style of U of H.
I see it as, like, very competitive. He instills, like, a super competitive environment every training, every single practice, every single time. And so, like, that carries over into every game, too. We go at each other at practice, and we go even harder into games. And that is really fun to play because it's never boring. It's never a dull moment. It doesn't matter who we're playing against. Who's on the field against us, we are always going to give the same effort and same competitive fire just because that's what he wants from us, and that's just what we love, and we compete, and that's just one of our team culture points. So,
Kirsten Kaiser's joining us here. All right, this is a historic win when you knock off Texas 4-1. That's a historic. It's in the history of the program. I'm going to say it. I know you guys know it, but I know it as well, having watched the U of H program over the years. Just the feeling that night of not only beating Texas, but scoring 4 goals against them.
Oh, my gosh. It was unreal. It was really fun. I don't know if you know, but 2 years ago, I got beat by Texas 6-1 on that same field. And
I was at that game, actually.
Well,
because
you
I was
know.
Calling the Longhorns for Longhorn Network.
Oh, gosh.
I was at that game.
But, you know, just... You know, going down at first and then coming back, it was just that much better just because, you know, we believed in ourselves and, you know, maybe people didn't believe in us initially, but we knew we could do it, and being able to do it and at that big of a scale is just, it's so relieving. It's so relieving.
UTSA 0-0, St. Mary's a 4-0 win for U of H. Beat Texas 4-1, beat Southern 6-0, beat McNeese 8-0. And you got UTRGV Thursday at Carl Lewis Stadium. So this Thursday, 2 days from now, you can go down and watch U of H. You can go down and watch Ben Williams coach his team. You can go down and watch Kirsten Kaiser at Carl Lewis, right?
Yep.
Right at Carl Lewis. Okay, then Big 12 is right around the corner. And this is going to ratchet up all the competition.
Yep.
Talk to me about Big 12. And, you know, everybody likes talking about the SEC, the ACC, but the Big 12 is incredible. I mean, Texas Tech, Colorado, BYU, are you kidding me?
Yeah, especially this year, obviously the Big 12. I mean, last year we had 7 teams go to the NCAA tournament out of the Big 12. So it's obviously a very competitive conference, but this year I think everyone stepped it up a bit. Regardless of anybody else in the nation, the Big 12 teams have the highest winning percentage out of any conference in the nation this year. So, no, it's going to be difficult, but again, with... Obviously, we've had time to kind of build into what we want to do and what we want to see. And I think definitely where we're at right now, we're definitely ready for it. I know players are definitely excited for it. If it was on Thursday, I think they'll be ready to go right now to go into there. So, no, we're excited, but there's some... And you want to play against the best players you can, and you want to play against the best coaches you can, and you want to play against the best programs you can. So, obviously, it's all gearing up towards that, and obviously opening with Cincinnati, and then a road trip with Tech in Colorado, and you don't get much more difficult than road trips.
That's a back-to-back Tom Stone. Yep. I know Tom. So, Colorado, that's a heck of a road trip.
No doubt about it, especially, obviously, in the other effects of trying to manage altitude and trying to manage that kind of stuff, and two different playing styles as well, where Tom is very forward-thinking and Colorado's very direct. So it's kind of a complete flip with playing styles as well and trying to deal with them. So but we're excited. Those are the challenges that you want to do.
So I see these as great opportunities, Kirsten, for you and your teammates, right? You got to be really up for this, I would accept, when you get to the Big 12 part of your schedule, which is kind of how everybody does it in college, right? They do a non-conference schedule that prepares you for then going into the Big 12. How excited are you to be squaring off against these huge teams and great opportunity, you know? Another big win over big programs.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited. You know, that's, like, the thing that my family likes to talk the most about is, like, oh, we get to go watch you play TCU because I'm from Dallas. And, like, that's just, like, crosstown rivalry. Like, they always love to go see us compete against teams like that. Like, everyone wants to play at the highest level, and when you actually get to go and play against these teams, like, we played BYU at home last year, and that environment was crazy. It was something I had never experienced before, and being in the Big 12 and playing against teams like that bring us opportunities to do things that we've never been able to do before and that we can't get in a non-conference schedule.
So look, such a condensed schedule, Coach and Kirsten. You got to do your studies. You're still going to college. You're a student athlete. You're on the road. How do you manage all this? You know, because expectations are even bigger now, obviously from your new coach, but I think also after beating Texas 4-1.
You know, it's definitely difficult. It's more of a load than, you know, what some people would be used to. But we just have great resources around our entire athletics facility. We have a great academic advisor, and she kind of plans our academic schedule in a way that will best help us for the fall season. And so I truly only have two heavy days a week that are not on game days. And it's Monday, Wednesday, so that really helps me to be able to balance school and soccer life because I have the rest of the week to prepare my mind, prepare my body, and just kind of relax and do what I need to do before my games. But it is a lot of work, and I have to stay on top of especially my sleep and time management, but it's work that pays off.
Well, you know Erling Haaland, right, for Man City?
Yes, of course.
The big Norwegian guy who scored 5 goals today? He always talks about sleep, Coach.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It's important. I think when we first come in, obviously, Houston's not known that you have to train in the morning. Yeah. So I think that was one of the things that we had to do of not training at 7 a.m. or 6 or 6 a.m. and that kind of stuff because, I mean, our students have a lot going on and a lot studying. Not only are they ambitious on the field, but they're very, very ambitious off the field as well. And it's something that sleep is massively important is when we can get them as much sleep as possible. We're trying to get them as much sleep as possible. So it is. It's especially with recovery. It's probably one of the most underestimated things for recovery is actually sleep. It's massive.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things. I can tell you that. We're talking to Kirsten Kaiser, a junior from Frisco, Texas, and also Ben Williams, the U of H head coach. Has the college game changed through your lens over the years?
Yeah, it's gotten, obviously when I first come in, we were still playing Friday, Sundays, which was, crazy. Yeah. It was crazy. Like, you just basically had nothing, and you just tried to hold on to teams.
It's funny, too, because for years we just sat around, hey, why don't you try Thursday, Sunday, and give them another 24 hours. The soccer's going to get better. People are going to be fresher. The coaches can do more work. I mean, it just makes sense. I don't understand why these things take such a long time.
It's unbelievable. We're finally, and even going into next year now, we get an extra 2 weeks. 2 weeks is an acclimation period, and they're pushing a week. So now we'll get to actually in conference have one more single game, a couple more single games, which will massively help. I mean, like we all, we just want to keep athletes healthy. And it's... Even on a Thursday, Sunday, it's still very, very difficult in trying to manage load. But some of the obviously the technology has massively helped. Some of the GPS units and managing people's loads is a game changer. Obviously, video has changed a lot over the last couple of years, and KK will tell you, we watch a lot of video and even individual video.
A lot of data.
But it's massive, hopefully. It's stuff we can develop people while they're not actually on the field with load. So it's changing, but changing in a good way. It's something that's exciting that's going on all the time.
Well, listen, I want to thank both of you for making it all the way up here. He's Ben Williams. He is the head coach of the University of Houston Cougars. They're in action against UTRGV on Thursday. Go down there, see Kirsten Kaiser play. Kirsten, thank you very much for taking time out from your busy schedule to come up here. Ben, you as well. We'll do it again.
Appreciate it. Thanks,
all right, best of luck on Thursdays. All right, wonderful to have the U of H Cougar team in here with Ben Williams, the head coach, Kirsten Kaiser. By the way, that is Steppenwolf. It's called Ride With Me. A band that should have been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Let's be honest. If you write the song Born to be Wild, that's all you have to do. That's all it takes. So we'll take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. John Daspit and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you need the best. They are bringing soccer to you each and every week. We'll take a break here from Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village.
ESPN 97.5.
Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Senate Avenue Brewing. Appreciate everybody coming out here tonight. Wonderful interviews with Jane Campbell of the Houston Dash, and then we went on to the U of H. Ben Williams, the head coach, they're in action on Thursday, the women's team, against University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. That is on Thursday, and Kirsten Kaiser, one of his important players here as well tonight. So really appreciate them coming out here and Jane coming out here. It's great to have people here live and allow them to mix with the audience. Next guest, he is Federico De Michelis. He is a correspondent with this show. He's from Argentina, proudly. So first off, I'm looking at your jersey here, and we were talking about it before. It's the Banfield jersey. It's a very unique orange with white and green stripes. Explain this jersey and the history of the club in Argentina, Banfield.
All right, Glenn, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on,
you know,
Federico.
Banfield is the city where I'm from. It's a club that's one of the oldest clubs in Argentina. And, you know, funny enough, our badge is green and white. But in the 70s, they introduced the orange. And funny enough, then I moved to Houston and I found the Houston Dynamo. So I thought it's a great marriage of the two. You know, my very dear Banfield and Houston Dynamo sharing the orange. It's not very usual that it happens, you know, and here we are.
And you coming from Argentina, we've been talking, you and me, a lot about Mauricio Pochettino. He kind of leaked it out, and then others leaked it out, that he was going to go to a three-back system here tonight. The U.S. right now is currently up on the stroke of halftime. They got a 1-0 lead. Alejandro Zendejas got the goal in the 30th minute. So we got the lineup. We were talking about the lineup, and I said, boy, I hope Zendejas has a good game, because every time I see him play for Club America, I think he performs well, and I think there could be a place for him on this World Cup team with Pochettino.
Yeah, and he's showing it. It's been a great game so far. We're watching here in every break that we get here at the show. And you know, actually, the game came from that left-hand side. One of those, you know, I think it was Arfston that found a gap and crossed the ball. So I didn't have a lot of faith in Arfton, I have to say. He's showing me different now. He's having a great game, and, you know, I don't know if he's going to be the one that's going to go to the World Cup as the left back, but he's been showing some good things for Pochettino, I think.
Well, Pochettino has played him a lot, and that's for sure. And, of course, Anthony Robinson needs some cover in that position. Mm-hmm. Still a lot of soccer to be played here, but I think U.S. fans are going to be a little bit happier here about the first 45. The furor over Pochettino and the results, and I play this in a very different way. I don't care what happens until we get to the World Cup and we produce at the World Cup. Now, I also get from the hype standpoint, the vibe standpoint, we are a host nation for this, that we do want to do well. But I'm not going over the top like a lot of the pundits are.
No. I think, you know, first of all, this is the first time we're seeing this team. Every time it's different. You know, he's trying things out. He's testing different players, different positions, different formations. And you were qualified. You know, it's not like the rest of the world that right now is playing and they're giving everything they have to be there. You're there already, you know, so it's better to test things out, you know, to see how things work, to see who you can play where, and to figure things out. You know, he doesn't have these players all the time. So, you know, I think it's a good thing to try.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you look at the U.S. men's national team tonight, he started Matt Friese in goal, Tim Ream, Chris Richards, and Tristan Blackman. All right, so sometimes if you're not happy and comfortable with two center backs, the thing to do is, guess what? You add a third one. You keep them in the middle. They play off each other's shoulders. Yeah, they're going to have to come out and cover laterally. But, you know, if we're looking and forecasting ahead, you got Anthony Robinson, an exceptional left back. And then it was in the Premier League. And then you got Serginho Dest. These two guys can help you build the game and get out of the back and push high and tuck in if they need to defensively. So this could be something very good they're building off.
That's exactly what you're seeing in this game. And against a team that applies a lot of pressure, too. You know, and that's also something to say. You're playing against South Korea, and you're playing against Japan. South Korea is a tremendous team.
Yeah, people forget, you know, these are two very good teams.
Tremendous teams. Yeah. You know, not every national team is going to beat South Korea or Japan.
Correct. You
know? So, yeah.
And then Christian Roldan, Tyler Adams in midfield, Pulisic, Zendejas, and Fowler and Balogun. So, you know, the other guys in the center back position for consideration, Miles Robinson, Mark McKenzie, Cameron Carter-Vickers would be there as well. Goalkeeping position, I mean, Pochettino has been using Matt Friese a lot. Matt Turner moved back to Major League Soccer to New England. And then I think club form is going to be very important, too, in the run-up to the World Cup. Chris Richards, to me, has grown as a distributor now, as a center back. He was really safe, a little bit of a liability, I thought, at times in the earlier stages of his pro career. But now I love the way he's breaking lines with passes.
Yeah, I think it's going to be in the details, you know, at this point. Everybody knows who is in consideration. And the way that they play in their clubs is going to be very important, of course. But also, you know, I think it's a matter of understanding the idea of the coach and the culture of the coach. I think those of us that have been waiting for American soccer to be where we know it can be, keep waiting for the moment where we see certain decision-making be different on the pitch. You know, and you see these players make tremendous decisions for their clubs, not yet in the national team, in my opinion. And I think once we start seeing that, it's when we're going to start seeing success for the U.S. national team.
So let's put a few things in context here. Okay, everybody got all crazy about Christian Pulisic not playing.
Yeah.
Every pundit took their shot. Those guys have to sell podcasts and likes and hits. It's a little over the top to me sometimes. A lot of the time it's a little bit over the top. I don't think the context of the national team was put in perspective really well. By the way, the Gold Cup to me was a success.
Yeah.
Without a lot of your top players, other people had an opportunity to step up. Other people, like Malik Tillman, had an opportunity to be a bit of a leader.
Yeah.
There was good things that came out of the Gold Cup. Of course, people want to win it, and we lost to Mexico. But the bark at the Mooners, you know, with some of these pundits, it is way too much. And honestly, I hope they take a look at themselves, because some of them are really new to the business despite having exceptional careers. But they are wearing it on their sleeves that they are definitely, from a character standpoint, going after some players, Pulisic being one of them.
Yeah, this is something that
it's distasteful.
I talked about it a little bit this week, and you know, there has to be a difference between informing the public, you know, about what's going on, and then just trying to get likes and follows and this and that. Engagement, you know, it can't be all about engagement. It just can't be. You have a responsibility as, you know, someone that's in front of a microphone to speak to the people like they deserve to be spoken. And you know, sometimes that is not, you know, the way that things go. That being said, I think Christian could have handled the situation differently, and he would have saved himself from all of this situation. Him, his father, you know, whoever else was involved. It was just, you know, the interviews that he did. Things were just not
handled correctly.
Yeah, I don't
want to go back into that whole thing, but you are right. Yeah. If you didn't want to play in it, I don't have a problem with him not playing in it, especially after the length of the season and what's ahead of him.
Sure.
He's going to carry the load of pressure. If they were to lose tonight here, he's going to be the one they're going to stick the dagger in. But the U.S. has got a 1-0 lead at halftime. Alejandro Zendejas, who we've interviewed on this show here, Soccer Matters, by the way. I would have liked to have seen some people step up and defend the guy.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, people that have in the past disappeared from the national team, and we know who we're talking about here, who have also said, oh, I've had mental health issues, I need some empathy, I need a break. That should have been the guy that defended Pulisic. And I've seen Eric Winalda defend him. I've seen a few others defend him, Marcelo Balboa. Hey, onward and upward. Let's put this one to rest, and let's see how this game continues out here tonight. Big question marks are Gio Reyna. I don't know if he's matured, if he's going to find form. He was an injury liability. Let's see what happens with him at Borussia Mönchengladbach.
He was a big promise. Promise.
Yeah, big promise is great. But it's unrealized potential right now. And he's in a fight to get on a World Cup team. Malik Tillman's another one we think about. Luca De La Torre in midfield. Yunus Musa, so, and Weston McKennie. All right, so when the U.S. didn't qualify for a World Cup, I remember on this show saying, look, this is an opportunity now. This turns quickly into an opportunity. You move out the old guard, in comes these fresh guys. They're going to get a World Cup under their belt, and then they're going to be in the U.S. as a host country, and they have an opportunity. They did well in the last World Cup. They got out of the group. I don't think the group was navigated well because they had to use the last game to advance, and they had to use a lot of the same players, and the workload, I think, was too much. We were gassed by the time it got to the Netherlands.
It was a fight, you know, but that was, you know, that's what they were all talking about at the same time when they saw a little bit of you know, some of the players out there. They've been talking about the way, you know, one of the staples of the USA as a team is the grit, you know, and the fight, you know, and leaving it all out there. And sometimes, you know, you might not see that as much. These are friendlies. Again, you know, this is about preparing the team. This is not about, you know, breaking in a play. So, you know, you got to be careful. I think, you know, again, those of us that have been watching U.S. soccer, that have been involved, we know the potential. We know that the USA has the potential to be one of the teams up there, you know, or at least to give a very good fight, you know. And it will happen. It will happen. You have the infrastructure. You have a very well-fed and educated, you know, players. You have a tremendous league. You have the whole college infrastructure and the world of college soccer.
Well, I'm probably going to – this would be a topic that I would probably argue and debate with you in a big way.
Bring it.
I don't know if we have the time to do this one now, but I guess the point I made with those guys who went through a World Cup experience as young men – if the basis of the squad is a lot of those guys, they've been through it before. So what's going to happen to Weston McKennie?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to come back and be a big piece of this thing? What about Yunus Musa? Is he going to come back and be a big piece of this thing? These are the questions I want to know. Ricardo Pepi. Is Fuller and Balogun going to be, you know, we need a striker that's got pace. We need a striker that might run onto a clearance, pick it up and run in and score a goal, because that is still part of the problem, chance creation and goal scoring.
And that you don't
have.
No
question.
Yeah. That nine you don't have.
So I'm thinking that these guys who've got a World Cup under their belt to go into a second one, this could be a real, real advantage.
Yeah.
By the way, England struggled a little bit with Andorra. Italy has declined in a big, big way, even though they beat Israel 5-4.
5-4.
Yeah, I mean. So for everybody that's out there, realize that a lot of national teams are having problems right now. So I don't think, you know, people get a little bit of tunnel vision. They drill down on certain specific things. They want to have these really hot, aggressive takes, which is fine. And healthy pressure is a good thing. I think a little more context may be needed for some. Some others, no. But, I mean, look today. I mean, Armenia beat the Republic of Ireland. Now, you may not follow those two teams, but that's a massive upset. It's 150 in the world against number 60. So it's not maybe as easy as everybody may think it is.
Yeah, and Armenia came from losing, I think it was 5-0 to Spain or something like that. So, I mean, again, it's not easy out there.
Yeah, it's
extremely competitive. You know, everybody wants to win. Everybody has enough to win as well. You know, all of these teams and all of these players have enough to beat any team, you know.
Yeah, and by the way, people bag on CONCACAF all the time, but when you play Suriname and they have players
exactly.
that play in Europe that can't make the Dutch national team, they still have to be respected because they're quality players. They may not be up to your standards of Europe because you're watching the Premier League every weekend.
No.
But they're good players. They just beat El Salvador in front of 50,000 people. Oh, and you're probably going, well, El Salvador's not there. Listen, that's a tough environment to go into and win. So you got to be careful a little bit. There's so many dual nationals now that every game could be competitive no matter who you're playing.
Look, it's Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia against Argentina. World Cup opener. Boom. You know?
All right. I hear that magic music. By the way, Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. Daspit Law Firm is our presenting sponsor. Cactus, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. Hugh O'Connor's Pub. LamontBrands.com. Our great friends down there, Jerry and Mel Lamont. And by the way, tomorrow night will be Destination 2026. More World Cups talk. This is one of my favorite bands of all time. It's a group called Mountain. Legendary Leslie West, a song called Never in My Life. And we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back. We'll talk some Houston Dynamo. We got fan reaction coming up that Federico De Michelis got for us. So stick with us here at Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm from the legendary, we're going to call it
legendary,
Senator Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Senate Avenue Brewing Company in Jersey Village. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Senate Avenue Brewing. Big shout out to Andrew Mitchum. This is really a cool place. And if you're not living in this area, it's worth the drive up or down 290. You get off at the Senate Avenue exit. So what's really cool about this tonight is it does have that German beer garden feel. You got all ages in here. You got families. I think you got a biking group here. Place is packed. People are smiling. They're drinking really good fresh beer. I got a window here where I'm broadcasting from. I'm looking out on the patio. There's all kinds of action out here with families. This really is a great stop. And we got the U.S. Men's National Team game on. We had Jane Campbell here, one of the top goalkeepers in the world. So we got Federico De Michelis. We had a no-show in Victor Ariza. I hope Victor's okay. We better check in with him. So it really has been a wonderful night, but I really encourage you to come here. Food is amazing. The beer is fresh. It's award-winning. It is Senate Avenue Brewing. So a big thank you to Andrew Mitchum and company. Okay, Houston Dynamo took a crushing blow in their last game. They had a 1-0 lead against the LA Galaxy. LA ties it up in stoppage time. It ends in a 1-1 draw. And actually, the Dynamo almost lost it because Christian Ramirez got in on a breakaway for the LA Galaxy, the former Dynamo player in stoppage time. Federico De Michelis caught up with fans after the game, and here's what they had to say.
What do you think of the game tonight?
I think Dynamo, like, towards the end, they have to apretar. You know, yes, because we can be losing at the last minutes, you know?
I think it was a good game overall. The Dynamo were dominating it, and then it was a tough last-minute goal from them, but yeah.
I think Dynamo was pretty good on keeping the ball. It was a not very lucky end of a game for the Dynamo, you know?
I don't know. I think it's like at the end, you got to have to, like, lock in more.
So what do you think of the game tonight?
I think recruitment's got to be better. Pat said it on Glenn's interview that recruitment hasn't been good enough. It's been way worse than just not good enough. Our A team could not stand up against their B team. We have to recruit better. Our top players should be able to go toe-to-toe in the West, and we can't. We are scraping away here. It's devastating. I don't know what needs to happen. We cannot give away games at the death. Not at home, not on a season like this where we're begging for something and to just give it up at the end. Heartbreaking defeat. Feels like a loss.
So what did you think of the game tonight?
They were playing with their B team. We still didn't win. I haven't been to a winning game. I'm a season ticket holder, and I've been to a winning game this season at home.
Let me ask you this. Who do you think is responsible for this moment in Houston? Is it the players? Is it Olsen? Is it the front office?
Top down. Pat, Asher have made bad choices on the player, and Ben, because apparently they're all in it together on who they bring in. It's infuriating. From the top down, all of them are infuriating right now. It's crazy.
A bit disappointing outcome, but what do you think of the game?
I mean, it was an exciting game. Yeah, it was sad to see the energy kind of fall at the end. They were playing to not lose. You know, you got to be playing to win at that. So we need to see more energy. But still, a great outing with the kids, good outing with the family. Weather turned out wonderful. We'll be back, of course.
All right, so the good news is there was a lot of passion.
Yes.
Bad news is it was directed at things that don't seem to be working. We heard recruitment. We heard not on the same page. We heard accountability top down. And this is coming from your fan base. So we're doing the Dynamo a favor here because we're gathering information for them. So your thoughts, because you're the one who did the interviews.
Yeah.
or gave them the platform.
Yeah, you know, I spoke with some, you heard at the beginning, some younger people. They were actually very educated. They knew what they were talking about, and I think they were right. You know, one of them said at the end, you have to apretar, was the word he used. Apretar means to tighten. You know, you have to, you know, actually get in there. You have to, you know, close spaces. You have to not let the enemy, the rival, the opponent, do everything and anything they want with
you. So let me stop you right there before I give it back to you. So if we remember when Hector Herrera was here, we knew how to manage games out because our overall possession game was better. Hector was a tremendous decision maker. So if, in comparison, we're trying to measure this team to the 2023 team, it's not close.
No. No, especially in a game where you don't have Reigns and you don't have McGlynn. You know, so what was the substitution to try to control the game? Putting Bassi in? You put Bassi in and then what? You know?
Well, I would say Bossy's coming in because he's got a good skill set and he can be a good link player and possession player, but the Dynamo never really got control of this. It was so helter-skelter.
Yeah.
You got the feeling that this game was going to be tied up and everybody was going to be disappointed.
I remember I texted you right after the game and I said, you felt it too, didn't you? You know, because we all smelled it in the air. It was coming. It was coming. And there was nothing we could do to stop it. And one that has seen enough soccer, you know when it's coming. And there's something, a miracle can stop it, maybe. But you feel it in the air. You know it's coming. And good for Bond that stopped that very last attack that was coming from Ramirez. No other than.
Yeah, but I think if you ask Jonathan Bond, he'll tell you that's one of the easiest saves of his entire career. Because Christian Pulisic ran out of steam. And credit Artur, because Artur, at least he might have heard the footsteps. But Ramirez was running out of energy, like every step he took. All right, so if we go to the data part of that, and the Dynamo are big on data, they got all kinds of data people and data departments. The Galaxy, 56% of the possession, 17 shots to 8 in favor of LA, 4 shots on goal to only 2 at home for the Houston Dynamo, shots on goal. Block shots, 5 to 4 in favor of LA, total passes, LA 504. They almost had 200 more passes than the Dynamo. Their accuracy was a little bit better. They had four corners. The Dynamo had five. LA had 7-6 crosses. So the whole data thing, and let's not forget, they put out a second team in the beginning. And I was impressed with some of the young LA Galaxy players based on a team that's got no prayer to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, but mostly, okay, so there is something to say about that as well. You know, when you know that you're out of the playoffs, when you know that you didn't have a good season, and you know that you're getting a chance as a player that usually doesn't start, you know, for the LA Galaxy, it's a big game for you.
Could be a dangerous animal.
You want to win that game. You know, you want to do your best.
You want to impress the coach. You might be playing for a contract.
It's exactly what it is. And you, as the Houston Dynamo, you know, when you see these stats, you know, you're playing at home. You're playing a game that you must win against a team that is just not competing right now. You have to win this game. You have to have the ball. You have to attack. You have to find the way. Sure, you don't have McGlynn. Actually, it was funny for me to see Bartlow playing the role of McGlynn, crossing the ball all the way to trying to find an alley behind the defense.
In the diagonal.
Right, and that big diagonal that McGlynn plays so well, that connection in alley McGlynn is
something
Bartlow
hits a good diagonal.
He does. He does very well. And you know, he didn't have a good start of the season, but he does have the ball a lot, and he's one of the players that has his head up waiting for those gaps, you know, in the midfield to try to start something.
I was laughing with the University of Houston head coach Ben Williams because I agree with him 100%. You know, all the soccer we watch on TV these days, even in the Premier League, I turn some games off. Mm-hmm. I don't want to watch two center backs passing the ball around forever because I'm not a coach. I want to be entertained. And then the six comes in and we hit him and he knocks it back and the other team's standing off you. And, you know, we, you know, 15 passes later, we decide to try and go forward and break a line. I think this is a danger for the sport of soccer. I think it's a bit of a danger for MLS. I think the Dynamo have to reevaluate their playing style if they want to put people in the seats and score goals and be a little bit more transitional. I get it from the standpoint of the weather, and you do have to slow the tempo down, but there's not enough transitional moments where the tempo takes off and changes.
No, there aren't. And one of the players that has that ability is, of course, Lawrence Sonnally. And last game, he just didn't have a good game. I think they controlled him very well. You know, he didn't have a good 1v1 that he won. The only one that he did get something from was a corner kick for Houston that was not given by the referee. So, you know, it was one of those games. You know, what are you going to do? He didn't have a good match. So, it's that. Or also, I remember against St. Louis as well, some players are showing some sort of frustration, I would say, with Lawrence when he doesn't release the ball fast enough. And I get it why he doesn't. We all do. We need someone that will break lines. We need someone that will take one-on-ones.
But I think the good comes with the bad.
If
you got a guy that's going to take people on, he's not going to be successful every time. But you want that element there to test another team. Plus, he's a threat behind the defense. Opponents know it. They may be dropping off a couple more yards, which gives your midfield a little bit more space. I mean, these are really simple theories. A lot of this sometimes to me seems too much like Einstein. No. You know what I mean? It's just sometimes it's too much.
It's too much.
And, you know, I see this in Premier League games. I'm bored.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Pep Guardiola soccer with every team in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, because every team in the world is not capable of doing that. And even they're having trouble now. So I think the way you play is just an element of trying to turn this thing around for the Houston Dynamo. You can't have two shots on goal. It's not enough.
No,
it's just not enough. And you hear the frustration from these fans. One guy said it was devastating.
Yeah.
And Sanabria knifes in there. You got three center backs out there, and you don't protect the middle of your goal. You don't get it cleared. You don't get pressure on the guy who delivers the ball. It was just fundamentally a bad example of seeing out a game with a 1-0 lead, if in fact that's what you want to do. And was the pedal pulled off too much?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the pedal was pressed enough. That's the first flaw, in my opinion, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, Ponce didn't, you know, he had a good game in terms that he scored. But he did miss a big chance at the beginning of the game as well. You know, he's, again, like you say, you know, he's not going to put them all in. You know, he can't. But there was just not enough attack from the Houston Dynamo. Just not enough, you know. And like you're saying, you know, people are tired. You know, there's a lot on social media today about season ticket holders, you know, dropping and this and that. And, you know, can you blame them? You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
I kind of said it all on the last show. And then, of course, we had the conversation with Pat Onstad. I'm of the opinion that the front office, honestly, is a bit on an island here.
Yeah.
I don't see the soccer passion there. And we know it's not there. I don't understand why. There's things that are confusing to me. I mentioned that people come here and stay short-term here. It's almost as though they come and you think they're already looking for their next job, you know? And
yeah.
You got to get all the oars rowing in the same direction. This has got to be more than an investment. It's got to be a soccer club. The social platform stuff, I mean, those things can't be the priority in your sell to the public here in Houston. That is an incredible soccer city that got us the World Cup. So I don't want to keep reiterating this stuff because we've mentioned it before. Let's move on to, by the way, Dynamo are on the road this weekend. They go to Colorado and altitude. So that'll be a big one for them because the Rapids fight it too.
Big game. Very important. Colorado's a direct rival. Then you have Portland at home. You know, difficult, but you can do it. And then we have Nashville on the road, San Diego at home, and we finish against Sporting Kansas City, who is also a direct rival because they might win a couple of games, and then they're up there as well.
Yeah, so we got a lot going on. Biggest thing that jumped out today, World Cup qualifying from you?
I don't know what to tell you. I want the U.S. to win. That's what I want today. That's what I want right now.
You want the U.S. to win? Well, the U.S. Remain up 1-0 on the goal in the first half.
Yeah.
So the U.S. still going. So we're going to watch the end of the U.S. game here. I want to thank Federico DeMichelis. I want to thank Brian McDonald back in the studio, Ryan Morrow. Everybody out here at Senate Avenue Brewing, tip your bartenders, waitresses, etc. We'll take a break, and until tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Central Time, Destination 2026. I'm Glenn Davis. Good night from Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.